Praise the Lord. Heaviness, heaviness, heaviness in the atmosphere. Why? Why? It was here this morning for different reasons. And one of the reasons was people weren't willing to let go of the things that they're holding on to. I really don't know what God is going to do. I think he's going to pass you by. Because if you want to hang on to hate, discord, and strife, and offense, and bitterness, he doesn't need you. He's been too long getting you to drop those things. I felt bad this morning because I thought, why? Why would you want to hang on to that? What is there so wonderful about offense that you like it? What is so wonderful about sin that you want to keep entertaining it? We need to ask ourselves those questions. There's so much going on in the atmosphere that we don't have to have any part of. Because we're free. We're children of God, and we shouldn't entertain anything that's heavy in the atmosphere. Nothing. We should have no part in us, and we shouldn't be anyone that would add to the heaviness in the atmosphere. Because we're free. That's what we say anyhow. And you know, I liked what Brother Aaron said, welcome. Because you know what? The people sitting in the house of God are just as bound up as the ones that God's going to bring into the house of God. And we could be singing that song to ourselves. Right? I'm just hearing God say there's never any rejoicing in the camp where there's bitterness and unforgiveness. Because you can't serve two masters. God is a God of love and forgiveness, long suffering. Well, Holy Spirit, I already gave you full rule and reign in the service before I came and during praise and worship, and that invitation is still out there. I want you to move the way God wants you to move, and we are not going to stop you. Just like Toby Mac said, steal the show. If that's what you want to do, steal the show. You do whatever God's telling you to do. And Father, if the hearts are not open to receive tonight, then they just won't receive. But Father God, if you have the key to unlock the door to the hardened heart, I'm asking you to insert that key right now and unlock that hardened heart and let the people walk into true freedom. True freedom, Father. Thank you for the angelic hosts that walk to and fro through our congregation. We thank you, Father God, that you are in our midst all the time because this is your church, this is your service, and not ours. We are just the vessels that you're working through. We take no honor and no glory for anything that you do, Father. So, Father God, I just ask you tonight, to do what you do best. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. When I was ending the prayer, I heard God say, I'm lifting the skirts and I'm revealing all the darkness that's in the people. So if you haven't already fallen on the rock, then the rock is now going to fall on you. And I don't know if you enjoyed the rock falling on you. I really don't. There's so many things, you know, that's going wrong in each one of our lives. And sometimes we said, I don't know about you, but I said, meditate on that. Why, Lord? Why is everything going wrong? There's not one thing, but everything is going wrong. Sometimes it's not our fault. Sometimes it's other people that are coming against and you and causing us to be bound up. But I don't know about you, but everything that's binding me up, I give to God because I know I'm walking the line. I know I'm walking where God's wanting me to walk. And so I know I'm free. I know I'm free. I don't have to make excuses for anything. I know I'm free. And I know that God wants me to stay free. So how about you tonight? Are you truly free? Are you making excuses while you do what you do? Catherine, God said, get busy on your book, daughter, because the people need to know what I'm showing you. Get busy on your book. We are a broken people, and God's trying to heal us. If you really think about the book of Acts, you know, the people were just going on about everyday life, whatever that was. And then whenever the Holy Spirit fell upon the people, and then they started going around and sharing what God showed them, and people started getting saved. This is what's supposed to be happening right now in this dispensation of time. People are supposed to be getting saved because of what God has done for you. Amen. Adelia was up here dancing and shouting, and I thought, boy, I wouldn't want to get no fuss with her in my house. I'd run for a rock because I believe she could really make you tremble. Amen. I really appreciate her because I know how bound she was. I know how free she is, and I know how she's letting God see that she's free. She worships him when she comes up here. She's not up here to put on a show. She's truly, truly free. She's one of those that were, when God said to first be last, and last to be first. She was last, but now she's first. She's free, and she lets everybody know it. And I can't wait until God lets me dance again. Amen. I want everybody to see how free I truly am. Tonight, God wants to, he gave me a prophetic word for tonight. I had a teaching, which I think was really good, but he gave me a prophetic word. So let's go into this. God said, I have been calling my people to come up hither for a decade. I looked up a decade, and it's 10 years. And those who obeyed are sitting with me in heavenly places. I have been calling my people to come up hither for a decade, and those who obeyed are sitting with me in heavenly places. Did that sink in? Did you hear what he just said? I have promised every word I spoke would come to pass at this given time. There are fires and there are fires. This fire that I dropped upon this generation is a fire so hot that it will devour on the left and on the right and anything that gets in its way. This is a promise I have given to my true body of believers. And he called them the remnant ones. Those who have endured the furnace of affliction over and over again. What I have purposed in my heart, I am doing at this present time. My ways are far above your ways, and my understanding is far above your understanding. I am calling you to follow me, not lead me. Isn't that a profound statement? I am calling you to follow me, not lead me. And all these words are God's, all right? Some have listened and came up hither, while others are still mulling over the things I have spoken over them. These will still be standing and mulling as my glory encompasses the entire world and the signs of the times begin to manifest. In other words, you've missed him. You've totally missed him. But you faithful remnant ones, I have called and I have ordained you to come up into my heavenly kingdom where the enemy cannot abide, and I will teach you of the mysteries of my heavenly kingdom. Now, God spoke that to us and told us he wants us to come up hither. And he's going to teach us of his kingdom, and some he's going to take to hell and teach you of his kingdom, because like the young man I talked to the other day, he said, there really isn't a hell. And there's a whole lot of multitude out there that believe that very same statement. and God's going to show you exactly what. Well, then he said, well, what goes on in hell? So he's going to show you what's going on in hell so that you can tell that to those who don't believe there is a hell. There's Christians who don't believe there is a hell. A lot of churches don't believe there's a hell. God will send you, the ones he's taken to hell to teach, he will send you into those churches and tell them about hell. He did that with Mary Catherine Baxter. And that when I met her, she was going from church to church telling about hell. See, you have to experience it in order to teach it. I keep saying that, but some people don't understand that. All right, the world will stand in total shock and amazement of what is going on around about them, but the remnant ones will understand all things, just not one or two, but will understand all things. The fires from heaven will burn hot, and they will consume my elect with the power and authority from on high. These firebrands, these torches, will go forth with all authority. There will be no fear in them, for they know from whence they came, and they understand heavenly authority. Are you listening here? Let's read that statement again. The fires from heaven will burn hot, and they will consume my elect with the power and authority from on high. These firebrands, which are torches, will go forth with all authority. There will be no fear in them, no fear in them, for they know from whence they came, and they understand heavenly authority. They have studied the tactics of the enemy, and they know the secret punches that put the children of God to their knees, and they have the weapons to stop all demonic tactics. In other words, God's going to show you what the enemy uses to make somebody else fall, and then because you have that fire in you, and you have all that power and authority, you're going to be able to defeat the enemy in somebody else's life and raise them back up again. Then God says, forever in my grace, they will spread grace all across this country. They will never for one instant give in to the wiles of the evil one, for they have learned love well. See that? And they will spread love wherever they go. I read a short little line or two where somebody wrote and said that God's heart is dripping with love in this season. And he wants his children to spread that love wherever they go. See, God is all about love right now, because what's in the world? Hate. Pure, unadulterated hate. And God needs to counteract that with pure love. And he needs to use us as vessels to spread that love. It doesn't matter what anybody's doing to you. You are to remain in the love walk. Oh, your feathers can get ruffled a little bit, but share that with a friend and then forget about it. You know, or go lay in your bed and say, God, here I am. I need to have my love, refurbished, because the enemy has come and tried to steal it. But whatever you do, keep your love walk going. All right, these faithful few know all about forgiveness. They know to forgive and move on. See, that's you guys God's talking to. Did you learn anything this morning? These faithful few know all about forgiveness. They know to forgive and move on. They have learned the art of truly forgiving and loving their enemy and pray blessings over them. Here's what you're supposed to be doing. All right, say that again. They have learned the art of truly forgiving and loving their enemy and pray blessings over them. Some of you have this little forlorn look on your face. You haven't learned that little phrase yet, have you? Better get it going. I'm telling you, you're going to lose out on everything God has for you. Love, 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 love the unlovable. Love those who persecute you. Love those who revile you. And I don't say that lightly, because there was a point in my life 2 years ago where the enemy was trying to steal my love walk. And I was totally shocked, because I thought that would never happen to me, because I knew how to love and I knew how to love well. But then, you know, he keeps throwing his junk at you to the point where even the very elect will have their love wane in some way, or shape, or form. But don't allow that to happen to you. And I'm sorry, I don't feel sorry for you if you walk around with a grudge on your shoulder. I really don't, because you don't have to do that. Come on. You don't have to do that. God says, my church is beginning to shine, and this bright light will draw all darkness into the light. See that? Your light is going to shine, draw all darkness into the light that will bring in the great harvest of souls. No more backbiting. No more jealousy. No more choosing sides. For my word has become engrafted into their very souls. He's talking about the remnant ones. Do you meet that criteria? No more backbiting, no more jealousy, no more choosing sides, for my word has become engrafted into their very souls. The enemy cannot defeat true love. All right, the enemy cannot defeat true love. You see, the enemy knows if your words are truth or lie, and he knows if you are truly loving or just speaking false love. I thought that was quite a statement. Where the body was full of dried dead men bones, I will bring an Ezekiel anointing, and I will cause the dry bones to live once again. And you know that song that Brandon Lake and him have out, you know, Rattle. You know, a lot of churches think that's demonic. It's not demonic, it's a truth. You were sitting in church all dried up, pruned faces, you know, we wouldn't smile for nothing. And we need our bones revived, right? At first, I thought, what kind of song is that? And then I had to sit and listen. I said, well, I sort of like that song. Right? Come on. All right, let's read Ezekiel 37, starting at verse 4. Again, God said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I'm prophesying that over you tonight. You dry bone things, hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. See that? I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. God says you shall do this. You shall live. Let him breathe life into you. You let the enemy breathe death into you. So why don't you just quit that junk and let him breathe life into you? Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. I wished I'd hear a rattle right now. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Some of you are sitting here, you're dried up, and you're going straight to hell right now. Truth. You keep holding on to that dead stuff that you need to let go of. If you was to take your last breath right now, you would not meet the Father in the sky. Come on. Get truthful with yourself. Why are you holding on to that junk? Like my first pastor told me, you're just killing yourself, not the person that you're holding that junk against. Amen? Come on. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. Right now, God wants to breathe life into you. He wants to bring, I'm hearing him say, he wants to breathe the resurrection power into you. New life. You need new life. This old life you're living in still is killing you. Might have some COVID in it. You better go put a mask on. You're spreading that germ, that death germ. Amen. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Some of you aren't there. You're just not there. You weren't there this morning. You're not still not there. Why? Why? I'm going to keep asking you, why are you still not there? You know? Right, Grace? Why are they holding on to it, right? Yeah, we've all had things in our life that, you know, we thought that we could never, ever live through, but we lived through it. You know, if you were like Jesus and been whipped like he was, you would think you weren't, it was the whipping was gone, and you would think you wouldn't. Okay, so when I was young, they used a strap on you, all right? And when my father has beat me and blood running down my legs and my back, I thought, I'll never live through this beating. But I did, and there I was there for the next one, you know. And I never was whipped because I did anything wrong. I was whipped because my brothers and sisters weren't doing their job, and I didn't make sure they did their job. And so I got the spanking. It wasn't a spanking, it was a beating. Amen. My daddy would say, Jimmy, go pee. You're getting ready to get the belt, and I know you're going to pee yourself. So I'd run and pee and think, oh, God, just make this last a little bit longer. Now, come on. But I lived through beating after beating after beating. And I'm here to tell you, it didn't kill me. Amen. Come on. One thing I did when he get that belt off, I didn't want that belt. And he hit me one time and I stopped running. He said, you might as well quit running because I'm going to be right here when you get here. Where are you going to go to? You're in a room. And he's waiting for me to run back to him so he can beat me some more. If you never lived through that, I hope you don't live through it because it's a terrible experience for a young child. All right, God says, so when those bones come to life again, God said, you will hear the roar of the lion and you will see the eagles mount up into the heavenly mountains and the gospel of truth will be heard from every mountaintop. I'm sorry, I do not hear the roar of a lion. I hear the meow of a kitten. Come on. Then, God says, true harvesting will begin, the harvesting of souls like has never been seen in church history. Let's go back and read the other statement. When those bones come to life again, you will hear the roar of the lion and you will see the eagles mount up into the heavenly mountains and the gospel of truth will be heard from every mountaintop. It's not until you can roar with the lion of Judah that you're going to be able to get out there and spread the true gospel. And whenever you really and truly come to the end of yourself and say, God, I forgive others like you forgave me, that you'll be able to roar like the lion. Amen. Otherwise, you'd be walking around with your head down to the ground and feeling sorry for yourself and all kind of junk happens, right? So, yes. Amen. Thank you. All right. Then he said, then when you get to that point, then true harvesting will begin, the harvesting of souls like has never been seen in church history. Oh, you have heard the prophets speak of this time, and you have heard it so long that you began to believe it was all fake. Well, it will prove itself out, and all eyes shall see the Lord high and lifted up, and his train will fill the temple. Bob Jones saw that vision, didn't he? So it's real. What are you looking for? Aren't you tired of living in the stench of the valley? Right? Aren't you tired of that? Always think about how somebody hurt you and this and that and on and on and on you go. I talk about the things that happened to me, but you know, I don't live in it. I get really aggravated with it and I really talk to somebody about it so I don't blow up inside. And when I get it out there in the open, it's out there in the open and the devil can't work on the inside of me with that thing. Amen. All right, God said, all ages will be caught up into the glory realm, and Joel chapter 2 will manifest all over this world. You know, Joel chapter 2 is where they're prophesying miracles happen and all kind of things are going on. Do you not want to see Joel chapter 2 manifested? I do, too. Amen. There's enough of us in here, you know, that want that to happen, and it is going to happen. Then the rest of you are going to stand on the shoreline like God said years ago. And you're going to say, boy, I sure wished I'd listened whenever that message was being given about letting go and let God. All right, then. So where men and women said it was impossible, they will see the impossible become totally possible. And they will have to bow their knees to the Almighty One. And you can go to Matthew 19:26 for that. All right, the fragrance of heaven will be all over the earth. Both great and small, both rich and poor will see my mighty hand at work. And I was looking for a scripture, and my Lord, the fragrance of God is all through the Bible, and I didn't even know that. So I thought, you can go home and read about it yourself. Because no way was I going to write all those scriptures down. So he said, the fragrance of heaven will be all over the earth. Both great and small, both rich and poor will see my mighty hand at work. Those that would not believe would not look unto the hills from whence cometh their help. These are the ones that will show gnashing of teeth. These are the ones that will beat on the door that I have closed, but I will not open the door. I gave them ample opportunity to drop their sinful ways, but they spit in my face and continued on their journey into the deepest, darkest holes they could find. That's what holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness will do to you. Take you down in the deepest, darkest hole in hell there is. When I was in hell, people were saying, I forgive them, but it's too late. They were in hell, and they wouldn't do it when God gave them the opportunity to do it. God said, you will see my hand at work in the Oval Office. The darkness of the swamp will be totally uncovered, and I will once again have ownership of the Oval Office. The stench of the Oval Office has come up to my nostrils, and I am filled with indignation of all the dark, putrid events that keep coming out of the oval hole. Calls it a hole, not the office. I have spoken, and I will complete the draining of the swamp as I have promised. My true prophets heard my voice, and they did not deny what they heard. To this day, they are standing on what I proclaimed, and they are waiting for me to place my son, President Donald J. Trump, back into the Oval Office. Woe to all those who have come against my son, Donald J. Trump. Woe, 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 for they shall now feel my rod of chastisement, and they will know my wrath in all of its fullness. Have you really read where a lot of people are starting to turn against President Trump? And God told me he couldn't even get lawyers because the lawyers are walking in fear of what the Democrats will do to them and their families. And they don't want to happen to them what's happened to Donald Trump and anybody else that's following him. If you notice, everybody that's in an office that's following Donald Trump, they're trying to get out of office now, the Democrats are. God said, I will bless all those who worked with him to keep him to keep America great. Watch what occurs this fall. Watch how the snake will try to crawl for covering, but I will smite him with my rod of chastisement, and he will be no more. All right, so Paul called the Galatians foolish. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? That's in Galatians 3:1. Tonight, I am calling all that would not obey my truth foolish. If you didn't let go of forgiveness, you are foolish in God's eyes. You will be wailing and gnashing your teeth, but too late. What I spoke through my true prophets, I am bringing to pass this fall. I really didn't like to write down this fall. But that's what he said, so that's what I wrote down, all right? I hear you in your secret places claiming that it is all hearsay. You will see. I'm about my business of vindicating the true prophets, the ones who would not recant, the ones who are still standing their ground, professing I am King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, if you're really going to be a prophet of God, you can't say, well, God said, and then recant it. You know, when everybody's coming against what you're saying God said, you either heard it or you didn't. You know, either God is God or he isn't. Either you're a prophet or you're not. I can't believe how people, prophets, started apologizing for saying that God said Donald Trump was our president. I couldn't believe that. I thought, what have you just done to your ministry? Right? Because I'm going to tell you, if you say one wrong prophetic word, that nullifies, I mean, that just does away with everything you say from that point on, because people aren't really going to believe you. Well, I just made one little mistake. No, you made the biggest mistake of your career. So you better make sure that everything you say is really, thus saith the Lord. All right, I'm just going to use this for an example. My grandson's in jail, and he thought he was getting out to 25th. And God told me he is not going to get out on the 25th. I didn't have the heart to tell him that. But what God did tell me, I think it was the second week of August, God spoke to me. He said, Jimmy will be home this time in September. And then later on, he said he will not get out on the 25th. Well, he didn't get out on the 25th. But now I am going to write him a letter and tell him that God said now they're saying he has dinner to October the 23rd or 24th. But I'm going to write and tell him that God said he would be out in the second week of September. Because if God was true, was saying he wouldn't get out on the 25th, he's true about saying he'll get out in the second week of September. You know, my God's not split. All right? There's some things, you know, I tell Chris, because I want somebody else to know that God told me that, so I bounced onto him. There's some things I'll say, well, this is what I heard God say, but I'm not going to put it out there. I'm just going to wait and see what God does. But then old big mouth me, I blab it anyhow. Because I just know it's God. You know, I just know it's God. And so I just stick it out there. And so if I make a mistake, guess what? I'm finished. That's why I say we have to stay really close to the cross, and we really have to hear a still small voice. All right, I can lost my place now. All right, so. All right, he was talking about true prophets who stood their ground. And then he said, these are the ones that have learned to hear my still small voice. They have heard and they have spoken it forth, and then they just stood. Oh, if only there were more like those. If only there were more true committed ones who would stand on the truth and not compromise. So many have lost their anointings and mantles simply through compromise. You can never compromise your walk with God. Never. And if you're a prophet, you definitely cannot compromise anything that you hear God say. I warned my people, but they did not take heed to any of my warnings. They continued to believe they were above me, and their friend, the adversary, was the truth. Woe, woe, woe unto these, for they are standing on sinking sand. Yeah, you, my beloved ones, are the true worshipers, and I am the cornerstone of truth that you follow. So now I looked up cornerstone. The Bible describes Jesus as the cornerstone that his church would be built upon. He is foundational. Once the cornerstone was set, it became the basis for determining every measurement in the remaining construction. Everything was aligned to it. As a cornerstone of the building of the church, Jesus is our standard of measure and alignment. You can read about that. That's pretty interesting. Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. See, Jesus was that cornerstone. And we could, if we build on that cornerstone, then everything that we build should be secure, because we started with a sure foundation. And then Psalm 118:22 says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. The stone which the builders rejected, and he's talking about the church. If you're going to build a church, you build it. Should better build it on the cornerstone, Jesus, or it's not. It'll fall. And you cannot go around. I've heard a lot of pastors say, "Well, you know, they do a project." And I said, "Did you ask God if you should do that?" Well, why should I ask God? This is a good project, so why should God not want me to do that? Well, He might not wanted you to do that. And so everything you do, you should first of all ask God if you should do it. Because if not, then you're doing your thing yourself, and you're not including Jesus in it, so he doesn't have to keep it. You see what I'm saying? He does not have to keep it, because it's not his, it's your idea. So everything you do shouldn't be, even if it's a good idea, it should not be your idea. You should run it by God and see if that's what he really wants you to do. I've had a lot of good ideas, but God said, I don't want you doing that. You see? And I know a lot of people had good ideas and did them, and they failed, even though they were good ideas and they were good. But that wasn't what God wanted done. So who did you build your foundation on? Was it the cornerstone? Jesus. And if it was a cornerstone, Jesus, did you include him in the rest of the building? You see what I'm saying? From that point, when you start building on the cornerstone, Jesus, everything you do from that point on, he has to be in that building, or it's going to fall. I would really hope and pray that each one of you tonight would take into consideration, what was my foundation? How did I really start building my walk with God? Was it just because somebody told me I should? Or did I really seek God's face, and did I really allow him to build the foundation and build the building? You're the building. You're the vessel, right? There's a lot of things in your life that, since you're the building, you're the vessel, there's a lot of things in you that God wants to do. But instead of you allowing God to do them, you did them your way, and it was the wrong way, and so you're still messed up. And if you know you've done that, all you have to do is repent and say, God, let's just tear down the building that I built, and I want you to build back up the building that you want, because I want to be a true vessel to you. And, you know, God is really and truly building a church that will not crumble. He really is. He's building a church, and it's going to stand. It'll withstand any storm that comes its way. I'm believing that we are that church. You know, we are, because God told us from day one we were the remnant. So since he's using the remnant, I'm believing that we are the remnant that he is using. And each one of us is going through things that we never thought we'd ever go through, but it was to make this foundation stronger. It was to build integrity in us. And he was solidifying us and making us so strong that the devil doesn't have anything else to throw at us. And you know, and one time God said to me, the devil has come after you. Well, he calls him the adversary, has come at you with everything he has in hell. He's bringing it all to you. And he did. And I know that some of you can say the very amen to that too, that Satan came at you with everything he had in hell to try to take you out. But he couldn't. Because you started with the right foundation, and that was Jesus. You didn't make all the right choices in life, but you started with the right foundation. And whenever you added God into your foundation, he made sure that no matter how many times you've messed up, he was there to bring you back on course again, right? Because there's not a one of us in this room or in the hearing of my voice that you haven't messed up somewhere along the way since you became born again. I mean, you know, like God said, life goes on, and we're not perfected yet. We're working towards perfection, but we're not perfected yet, and we're definitely not Jesus. We're definitely not Jesus, even though we're working towards that goal, because God said when people look at us, all they should see is Jesus. So if we're really working towards that goal, then our foundation is a sure foundation, right? So tonight, God wants to do one thing to you. He wants to re-cement your foundation. He wants to give you a foundation that the enemy is not going to be able to ever again shake. You know, no matter what he brings your way, it's not going to throw you off course. And he wants to make that foundation so secure tonight that it will never, ever fall. And God said it won't even, I'm going to say, won't even crack. It'll be so strong and so sure. So that's what the altar's open for this morning, this evening.